Go ahead and have a seat. Our scripture lesson today comes from the 27th and 28th chapter of Matthew. We're going to start a little bit before the resurrection. We're going to start at the 57th verse of Matthew 27. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came up and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And then they had assembled the elders and consulted together. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Imagine that you are going to the tomb on Sunday morning. You remember the day that Jesus cast 7 demons out of you and gave you a new life. Or you remember the day you were so sure of things that you asked Jesus to let your 2 sons sit at his right and his left when he came into his kingdom. Or maybe you're a regular guy working on a fishing boat or collecting taxes, and Jesus gave you a new job, telling of the kingdom of God and casting out demons and healing the sick. Or maybe you're a rich official or a powerful soldier who discovered that all your wealth or power could never save the ones you love from sickness or death. And Jesus comes with the power of God himself and heals even raising from the dead. Imagine you are lame and seeking healing, but no one will help you into the healing waters. And you meet Jesus, who heals you on the spot. Imagine you are blind or an outcast with leprosy, and you meet Jesus and you see. You are made clean. Imagine you're under constant attack by spiritual forces beyond anything you ever saw, and you meet Jesus and you are set free. Imagine that you have spent 3 years completely away from your families, away from your livelihood. You have given everything to Jesus, who claims to be the way, the truth, and the life, the one who claims to be one with God, the one that you have witnessed heal the sick, tongue-tie the critics, and raise the dead to life. And now, Jesus is dead. You remember that he told you this would happen, but you still don't understand. Could this have really happened? What will happen now? Was he really who he claimed to be? How could God let this happen to us? To me? Jesus made everything make sense, and now nothing makes sense. Am I really loved by God? Will the meek really inherit the earth? Is the kingdom of heaven really for the poor in spirit? Will those who hunger and thirst for righteousness really be satisfied? Will we receive mercy? Was he really the way? Will we ever see God? Will the light ever shine into this darkness? Maybe right now, you're in a place where it feels like all hope is gone. A place where you think that the light of heaven could never penetrate the darkness surrounding you. That's exactly where the followers of Jesus were as they huddled in the upper room. But Sunday was coming. Maybe right now you're saying, there is no way Jesus could ever love me. There is no way his love could ever work its way through my worthlessness or my sin or my brokenness. But I imagine that is exactly what Peter was feeling after rejecting that he even knew Jesus. And now there was not even a chance for him to go and say, I'm sorry. But Sunday was a coming. Maybe you're doubting that any of this could even be true. How could Jesus really rise from the dead? Well, that's exactly what Thomas was thinking. And Jesus met Thomas in the very midst of his doubt and proved that he really is the way, the truth, and the life when he says, "Thomas, touch the holes in my hands and the hole in my side, because Sunday was a-coming." Maybe you're wondering today if the one who promises joy unspeakable, peace that passes understanding, strength for the weary, hope for the brokenhearted, and sight to the blind, really has the power and the authority to fulfill all these promises. Well, if you're wondering that, now imagine an angel telling you, Jesus is alive. Imagine some women running to you and telling you, Jesus is alive. Imagine your friends running and telling you, Jesus is alive. Imagine falling at his feet and seeing him with your own eyes, the same eyes that saw him die, the same eyes that saw Jesus wrapped in cloths and buried in a sealed tomb. Sunday's not just a coming, it's here. The dawn of a new day has brought life into death, has brought light into darkness, but the light has not just come into the darkness, it has shattered the darkness. In a single moment, Jesus has shattered the doubts and fears and proved that he is the author of life, the one who has the power and authority to not only forgive sins, but to make one new and resurrected after the death of those sins. He has the authority to fulfill every promise ever made. You see, the light of the resurrection that led Thomas to leave his doubting and fall at the feet of Jesus, proclaiming, "My Lord and my God." The light of the resurrection that took Peter from denying Jesus to proclaiming him with such faith and authority that the lame walked and prison doors and shackles fell away. The light is ready and it is waiting to shine into whatever darkness you might be going through. Today, Sunday's not just a coming, it's here. Take the struggles, take the burdens, take the sin, the despair, the worries, the doubts, the fears. Take them all to the cross where Jesus gladly receives every one of them. And then live into the light of the resurrection that Jesus wants to shine in you. That is how light shatters darkness. Maybe God's speaking to you today. Maybe you've believed a long time, but you still struggle with something. There's some doubt. There's some place that just doesn't make sense. Won't you take that today and lay it at the feet of Jesus and let his light fill you with everything that you desire? Maybe you've never believed. I say that with no judgment. Just maybe you never have. Maybe you wonder how it could even be possible to believe in some guy from 2,000 years ago. But he's not from 2,000 years ago. He's alive today. He's alive today, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. If you're wondering whether it might be true, that's enough of a crack that Jesus can shine that light into it. Test him. He'll show himself to be good. He'll show himself to be true. We just go to him the way we are. He's the one that does the work. And he desires to give you hope and light in the midst of any darkness that you would find yourself in. You see, he comes to show his love by taking our sins away. That's why he goes to the cross. That's why he willingly, in Hebrews it says, he willingly, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. How many of us would do that? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew what was coming. He knew the victory was his. He just had to finish it. That's why on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He said, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup, said, "This is my blood given to you for the forgiveness of sins. As you gather together, drink it in remembrance of me." And the Apostle Paul reminds us that as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. We live into the story. We become part of God's story of redemption. So this morning, as you come forward, we will have four deacons up here that will serve you. As you come forward, I invite you to reflect on those places where you need the light to push out the darkness. And as you come forward, then, you can either tear a piece of bread off yourself if you choose, or if you come forward with open hands, a deacon will take the bread off and place it in your hands. You will receive the blessing. This is Christ's body given for you. Proceed to take the bread and dip it in the juice. You will receive a blessing. This is Christ's blood given for you. And then partake of Christ's body and blood. Our deacons, if they would come up. Before we pray, if there's those that need a gluten free option, I'm going to ask you to come over to this side of the line, and we will have that available. It'll be right behind the deacons, and that'll be available for you. Just let them know that you need that option, and we will serve you in that way. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are so grateful to be invited to your table, to share in this meal, to share your love. As we partake of the bread and the juice, your body and blood, we know that you are present here with us, and we are grateful. Help us to feel your presence stronger every day. Help us in this time to lay the things that need to be laid at your feet willingly and to receive the blessing of the resurrection more fully every day. And so we thank you. We thank you for this gift in your most holy name. Amen. The invitation is open to all who love and trust our Lord to come to the Lord's table and receive his goodness.